Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Draymond Green, who will not be in the bubble because Golden State did not make the playoffs without Stephen Clay, he's talking, though, and he was on ESPN's Jalen and Jacoby, and he likes the Lakers. Here's why.
You know, going into this bubble, the Lakers got to be the favorite because they got LeBron, and he can kind of adjust to anything. And I think he's probably the most disciplined pair we've ever seen in the NBA. And that's going to matter going into this bubble. And so, you know, having LeBron on your team going into this bubble gives you a slight advantage.
I know Draymond likes LeBron, but enough. Chris, really? He should be the president. He's the greatest player ever.
Is he trying to make up for calling him out of his name in the finals in 2016?
My God, enough already. What?
I hear you, Rob. Look, and like you said, Draymond is a clutch guy, an uninterrupted guy, and all that. And we like LeBron. I mean, we don't think he's the GOAT. We think Jordan's the GOAT. But we both got him second, so we agree that he's a great player.
But my goodness.
This was the quote, Rob. He's probably the most disciplined player we've ever seen in the NBA, in NBA history. What? I mean, what's the basis for saying that? I don't know. Where do you get that? Michael Jordan isn't in the conversation? You know, Magic Johnson isn't in the conversation? Larry Bird? We could go on and on. Isaiah Thomas, not even stars. I mean, how do we measure that LeBron is the most disciplined player ever in NBA history?
I don't know, because I lost my discipline meter. And I don't know where it is, so I don't know how to judge it. Because, and of course, I don't know what the interview was, but could somebody have pushed back just a little bit to say, like, what do you mean?
Define that,
so disciplined that he's lost six finals, the most of any other former regular season MVP. Is that what we're talking about?
Look, he keeps coming back. That might be one of them. He keeps coming back. And so he's disciplined to try to win the championship. Look, all I'm going to say is this. Obviously, LeBron is mentally tough. He is an all-time great player. He is disciplined, certainly. No question about that. And he's a very good leader. So I'm sure during this 3 months off, 4 months off, he has taken care of himself. He's worked out hard. But the notion that he's going to have some type of advantage over all the other stars, other than just he might be a better player. But this notion that mentally he's going to have an advantage, I just can't go there because it's been a while, but we've seen LeBron struggle at times mentally. We saw him in the Dallas Finals. Obviously, that was 2011, okay? But even in 2018, after a tremendous game, 51 points against Golden State, and then J.R. Smith, of course, makes the boo-boo for all time when he forgot the score. But LeBron was lost it on the bench.
And, Chris, this is the thing about that game. If you would have told LeBron before that game, if you were tied at the end of, you know, tied at the end of regulation in game one of the NBA Finals in Golden State, wouldn't you take it?
You would definitely sign up for that every time.
For any time and say, we got a chance to win the game. Instead, he like freaked out like, oh, wow, we lost. They didn't lose. And if you remember, LeBron had 2 points in overtime. He was mentally out of it. If you remember watching him on the bench,
yep,
he had removed himself. He had detached himself from what was going on instead of saying, no sweat. We just got to play these guys for 5 more minutes so I could walk away and steal game one at Golden State. Could have changed the entire series, and he wasn't mentally ready for it.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously he's shown up. He's huge in the finals. His game, his numbers are tremendous in the finals. But we're just saying this notion that he's so far ahead of everybody else mentally, I can't go there. I mean, I think Kawhi Leonard is about as tough as they get in today's NBA mentally. He doesn't show emotion.
Nothing seems to bother him, Chris. Right. Nothing. No.
He's played for, you know, an all-time great coach in Greg Popovich. He goes to Toronto's got one season there and delivers him a championship. Doesn't have a second star. When he was in San Antonio and they're playing Golden State with Kevin Durant, he's got no second star. I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge is a star, I guess. But they were up 22 when he got hurt. So, I mean, this dude is mentally tough. So I think Kawhi's got a good, great temperament for this type of thing. Is it going to be better suited than what LeBron? We don't know. But again, we're just saying to say like LeBron is light years ahead of everybody else in that regard. I just can't go there.
Especially when I don't know the reasons why, other than, yes, he's been to finals and Draymond loves everything about LeBron. I get it. I told you, it's the only barbershop show where everybody in the barbershop agrees with LeBron no matter what he says. What, have you ever been to a barbershop like that? I know I haven't. I've owned one for almost 19 years now. And, Chris, you could come in with that black hat on and people will tell you it's a different color. Everybody right. would tell you it's not black.
Look, you know this. You can go into a barbershop in the hood and say you know, Donald Trump, you don't like Donald Trump in the hood.
Yes.
And you'll get pushed back.
There'll be somebody in the shop who will defend Donald Trump yes. and tell you you're wrong.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes.
No
you're
doubt
about
it.
Absolutely right.
Everybody doesn't right. agree in the barbershop. That's what makes it great.
Right, right. So, look, I like the Lakers' chances. I really do. Now, I'm with Rob. We're both picking the Clippers. But I'm not going to say the Lakers don't have a good shot. I think they got a very good shot. But they got two of the best three players in that series, and LeBron and Anthony Davis. But the notion, like we said, just that coming out of this, they got such an advantage over everybody else, I just don't see it. And I don't know where Draymond's coming from with that. And you made an interesting point to start the show, Rob. Like, he is pouring major league love on LeBron.
He is pouring so much sugar on LeBron. I think I have a toothache just listening to him talk. Because everything about LeBron.
Is this some of your material? You're pretty good today.
Come on, I'm all right.
You got some good ones today.
You know, had a long morning. I woke up early, but I still feel good. A lot of energy, ready to go. But no, I think it's over the top. I don't know what he's trying to make up for or what it is, but just once. You don't have to say that you don't think LeBron's going to win, but to just flout, you know, over him about everything. Everything's great. You know what I mean? I just think after a while, people tune out because they know where you're coming from and they know what you're going to say at every turn.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Who's the top team coming out of this pandemic?
I still think it's the Clippers. I just – only because they're very deep, Chris, and I think that's great. And then they were playing well banged up.
Right.
They were playing well banged up. And now you got your guys who are younger, who got themselves together with the 3 months off.
I think they're hungrier, too.
And they're hungrier. They know – going into this, what they have at stake and what can happen.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, dude, we can make this happen.
I know LeBron is hungry. I don't know that anybody's hungrier than LeBron James. But as a team, I think they've got, I'll call them the two Ds is a big advantage for the Clippers. The depth, as you mentioned, and the dog. They got major dog in them. And the Lakers do not, up and down the roster, do not have as much dog. And then you lost Avery Bradley, who was one of your dogs.
People can poo-poo Avery Bradley they want. He was playing well for them, Chris, and that's a loss.
He hit 6 threes and 24 points when they beat the Clippers, the one game they beat him. And then Dwight Howard is still a question mark. He has not said yet whether or not he's playing. Now, they expect him to. Frank Vogel said today he expects him to, but it is not a done deal yet. So if they lost Dwight, if he didn't play, Oh, my.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's go to the NFL. Now, you and I were both in agreement with the big news of the last couple days, which is that Cam Newton, former MVP, former Super Bowl quarterback, not a champion, but a Super Bowl quarterback, signing at the age of 31.
Oh, he's signing, old. He's done.
Right. Washed. So, what, less than 2 years removed from being in the MVP conversation again early in 2018. He signs with Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. And you and I think it's a great move for him and for the Patriots. But not everyone is convinced. An AFC head coach told this to ESPN's Diana Russini. I think they're going to keep three QBs. They're going to use Cam Newton perhaps as the wild card. I actually don't see him starting week one in the offense. I know one thing for a fact. The Patriots love Jarrett Stidham. Rob, I got one thing to say to that. Stop it! They love Jarrett Stidham? Really? Then why'd you sign Cam Newton? Seriously. Rob, I think 95% of the players in the NFL fully expect Cam Newton to be the starting quarterback come week one. How in the world can they love Jarrett Stidham? If they love Jarrett Stidham and knew he was their quarterback of the future, there's no way you bring in Cam Newton. There's
Chris,
no way.
What you would have done was bring in a veteran quarterback, an older guy, who
yes.
you know can't get the job. You know what
like
I mean?
Like Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, right.
who or they some, had, right?
But you know what I'm saying. Like a guy right. like that who's going to be there to help him and tutor him along. But you know he's not in the running for the starting quarterback job.
Absolutely.
You don't bring in a 31-year-old guy with his credentials and he's healthy, passed the physical, he's fine. We've seen him struggle of late, but he was hurt.
Yep.
He was playing hurt. And I think people keep going back to that thinking that's who Cam Newton is. That's not who Cam Newton is, Chris. That's hurt Cam Newton.
Right.
And the whole thing is, you're not just giving Cam Newton a job for no reason if you really didn't believe this guy could play. I just do not believe in that. Stidham is a nice young guy, and maybe they have plans down the road. But they're looking at it, and he was available. And they had to look at it and go, it's not going to cost us that much money. This guy has something to prove.
Yep.
That's the greatest yep. guy to have. And you can look at the division, the AFC least, Chris, and go,
yep.
You know what? Jets got better. Buffalo's better. But we could still win if we had a right quarterback and
no
a good
doubt.
Defense and a running game. We could still win the division. And if you're Bill Belichick, Chris, and Tom Brady walks away and goes on to Tampa Bay, and somehow, some way, you win 10, 11 games in the division without Tom Brady, it ain't the Super Bowl, but don't tell me you wouldn't feel good about it. And if you're Bill Belichick, and that's what he set himself up for.
I agree. They get to the playoffs. It's a success. It really is. It's a success for the Patriots, for Belichick, and for Cam Newton. And I'm not saying it's a shock because I expect them to get to the playoffs now that they have Cam. But it's a good season. Nobody expects them to win. No, nobody thinks they're better than Kansas City and Baltimore. But if they get to the playoffs, it's a great season. And here's the thing, Rob. The reason you don't bring in Cam Newton if you love Jarrett Stidham is because it's a controversy waiting to happen. And Rob, it is not waiting to happen. It's here. If Jarrett Stidham starts game one, there's a quarterback controversy.
And
because aren't the announcers – don't tell me the announcers don't at some point during that game say, well – he beat out Cam Newton, but you got to wonder, you know, how long's his leash or what's Cam got left? Or, you know, like Cam Newton will be a part of the conversation.
Especially
that's a controversy.
With the fans as well, Chris. They'll go, why, if Stidham struggles, Why? Put Cam
Absolutely.
In.
Absolutely.
Put Cam Absolutely. In. You'll hear them yelling, put Cam in.
Yep.
Because that's what fans do, and they want the next guy. So I agree. It makes no sense if you're the Patriots to bring in an accomplished quarterback like a Cam Newton who's not an old man. It's not like Chris in Carolina, he was already regulated to the backup guy as a backup quarterback. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yep.
He lost
yep.
his job somewhere else and it had nothing to do with injury. That would be one thing. That's not what happened in Carolina.
I tell you what, Stidham, he's got a nice PR machine behind him because there was a Bleacher Report story out a little while ago. Here's what people were saying about it. An anonymous scout. He's a lot closer to playoff quarterback than another guy who falls on his face replacing a legend. Really? How do you know? You're a scout, I assume, for another team. Maybe you're a scout for the Patriots. Knowing Bill, he's excited about taking this big ball of clay and molding it into his image. I've always thought Stidham was way undervalued as a fourth-round pick. I begged our guys to take him. He has so much more ability than he was able to show in college.
Oh, wow. Is that right? Why was that?
You're the only guy that knew?
Right.
You know, no, none of the other teams had a clue about Jared Stidham.
And it had to go four rounds, Chris. Not even like he didn't get picked in the first or second round. You know what I mean? Like
right.
four rounds.
And I don't remember, was there controversy when he didn't go in the first round or two?
No.
Were Mel Kiper and Todd McShay saying, I can't believe Jared Stidham is still on the board. No.
I don't remember that broadcast and don't remember that play-by-play from those guys during the NFL draft. So I'm with you. And anonymous scouts, Chris, sometimes they're pushing their own agenda and all that. You know, like there's yep. a lot of stuff out there. You know that. You deal
You're
with
You're anonymous. You have an agenda. You're
you
right.
have an agenda.
Typically. That,
you do. And you could put stuff out there and maybe down the road, you know, use that as if he does turn into something. See, I told them they should
Right. Did.
You know what I mean? You could use that as your ammo. So I'm always a little cautious about that, but I'm with you. If Cam Newton is not the starter on opening day, not only will fans be upset, the guys in that locker room, I don't believe the Patriots, those guys, most of them, Chris, because as you play your career out and you got a guy like that who was the MVP of the league and went to a Super Bowl, that team right. was 15-1 when he was right. Do you remember?
Yep.
35 touchdowns, 10 rushing touchdowns. That's 45 touchdowns. I'm not saying he's going to put those numbers up, Chris, but we've seen the potential.
No question. And look, if he goes out in practice and he's just horrible, that's one thing. If he's not healthy or he doesn't have it or whatever the case, that's one thing. And Stidham lights it up. But I don't expect him to be horrible. I expect him to be strong. He's got one of those personalities where he's a leader. And I agree with you, Rob. A lot of guys in that locker room are going to be wanting to Cam Newton to be under center for game one. And here's the other thing about Stidham. And I know, look, this is far from a prerequisite for a great pro quarterback to be great in college. Tom Brady is Exhibit A, okay?
And he was a
but still, right, still, Stidham did not, he didn't light it up in college. And he went to Baylor to play for Art Briles.
And
where several guys,
say, everybody RG3, who's been a quarterback,
yeah.
right? Everybody put up numbers there
yep.
at Baylor.
He didn't do it. Auburn, he's okay. I mean, nothing special. And so I just, for these guys to sit here and act like Jared Stidham is the second coming of Tom Brady is just crazy. I think part of it, Rob, is look, he was a sixth round. Brady was a sixth round pick. We saw what happened with him and Belichick. Garoppolo wasn't, you know, one of these big name quarterbacks coming out of college, and he's become good. I think people are just putting this on Stidham. They're saying, hey, Brady was, you know, they found Brady. They found Garoppolo. Stidham must be something special.
Right. They got an eye for it. You know what I
yep.
mean? Like,
yep.
quarterback makers. We always talk about quarterback whisperers, like a quarterback maker, you know,
yep.
guys who aren't that highly touted. But Yeah. I know I've heard all kinds of stuff as well, but I believe Cam Newton to be the starter going in. And like you said, unless he's just god-awful, Chris, or there's something wrong or he's not
right
himself, I don't see how he's not the quarterback for the game one.
And Rob, I expect him to be good, too. I expect him to be good. I'm not saying he's going to be the MVP or anything like that. But I think Belichick and Josh McDaniels will come up with some type of offense that highlights his strengths. And I think he's going to be very good. I think, you know, and he presents, he's not better than Tom Brady, but he presents problems that Brady doesn't. You know, when he's a threat to run that obviously Brady wasn't, that makes the defense have to think twice.
Right,
or
they
three
gotta respect
times.
You.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So that'll open things up. I would love to see them with a better receiving core, of course. But, you know, N'Keal Harry, maybe he'll finally play well. You know, he was hurt most of last year, half of it. And I thought he was going to have a nice little year last year. So maybe he'll come out and have a breakout. Maybe one of these tight ends they drafted will you know, do something. Obviously, Cam loved Greg Olsen in Carolina. So I'm excited to see. I tell you what, Rob, I think they're must-see TV, at least early on.
Oh, no doubt about it. I think people will want to see what Cam is all about, fitting in with Bill Belichick, what the Patriots look like without Tom Brady. When you've seen a team for 20 years have the same quarterback, Chris, and then to take a look at it, and they see Cam on the center with that uniform on, it will definitely be something people want to see.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Rob, something that shocked me. This poll that was done by CBS Sports, they put it together. And they chose the top 10 coaches in the NFL. And no surprise, Bill Belichick's number one. I think most people would agree on that. I don't know. You might even agree on that, even though you say he's out of the GOAT
conversation.
Can't
get my vote for the Hall of Fame.
That's fine. But, do you have a vote?
No, I don't. I'm just saying, okay. If I have.
Right. But he wouldn't have. Yeah, okay. But anyway, this is what shocked me, Rob. At number five, behind Belichick, Andy Reid, John Harbaugh, and Sean Payton, was Kyle Shanahan. I'm sorry, Rob. I'm sorry. I know they got to the Super Bowl last year in San Francisco. They were 13-3. But before that, the 2 years before that, he was 10-22 in San Francisco. And I know what you're going to say. He didn't have a quarterback. Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt, you know, right early last season. But the ultimate coaches, they overcome that, not necessarily to get to the playoffs, but they overcome it and win some games. That's all I'm saying. And I'm not saying he's not a good coach, but top five, he's ahead of Mike Tomlin. He's ahead of Doug Peterson automatically. Come on.
I got
he's ahead of even Sean McVay. I mean, look, and we know, we said it, Bill Belichick undressed Sean McVay in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. But still, McVay's coached for 3 years. He had two outstanding seasons, took a team that was at best mediocre and took them to one of the best teams in the league. And then last year when he was down, Rob, they still were 9-7. And they didn't have their best running back anymore, Todd Gurley. We know he's not the same. So I'm just saying, I can't put Shanahan ahead of McVay. I just think, where is this coming from?
They love this guy, Chris. This is the coaches where they fall in love with him and his pedigree from his dad. And I get all that, Chris. And he's a great play caller. But Kyle Shanahan is the author of two of the biggest collapses in Super Bowl history. Mm. He's had two awful fourth quarters, Chris. Mm. The Falcons. Don't forget that 28-3 in the third quarter, and they run the ball three or four times in the second half. They're in field goal range, right? Remember the big catch by Julio Jones, Chris? They're first and 10 at the 22, All they have to do is hand the ball off, Chris, three times, kick a field goal, they're up by 11. Tom Brady can't beat you.
Right. Right.
He blew it. He was the play caller. He wasn't the head coach. He was the offensive coordinator.
Right.
Chris, he blew that Super Bowl. I don't care what anybody says that. I mean, the opportunity to win that Super Bowl. And then
Brady was great, but he helped him with the opportunity because all they got to do is run the ball
back. That's all I'm saying. You run the ball back. You run the ball, Chris, three times. Not only does Brady doesn't have time, not only can you kick the field goal and go up by 11, you empty out the time for Brady. They got a holding penalty. He threw an incomplete pass.
Yep.
And there was a sack. I mean, that stops the clock.
Yep.
So I didn't understand that. And then against in the last Super Bowl,
Kansas City,
they were up 20-10. What was that the score in the fourth quarter or whatever?
They were up 10, I believe, with 8 minutes left.
With 8 minutes to go, you're up by 10 points. I mean, it's very few teams have coughed up a 10-point lead in the Super Bowl with that little amount of time left, Chris. And Kyle Shanahan is attached to those two. There's no way he's in my top 10. I don't care what the play callers are. There are other guys who have won, who have done more, a better body of work. It was like the McVay thing, Chris, when they were anybody who had a cup of coffee and a sweet roll, they were giving jobs to.
Right.
I just think when they get hold of somebody and want to crown them as the next guy, win something first. Do something to where I could take a look at you and go, that's pretty impressive. You got that done. Kyle Shanahan, to me, he was paid prematurely, Chris, with this big contract he just got. There were like 2 years left on his contract, and they gave him an extension, which doesn't make any sense. And they didn't win the
nepotism.
Super Bowl. It is.
It's nepotism. It's the old boy network. As good as people may think he is, if his name wasn't Kyle Shanahan, he wouldn't be getting all this. I'm sorry. And here's the thing. You hit on it, Rob. And again, I'm not saying he's not a solid coach. But he's had one winning season in 3 years, and now we got him top five?
Right. How? Coming off a choke job in the Super Bowl.
Well, and getting to that, you hit it on the head, Rob. What is his reputation? Outstanding play caller. He falls victim to trying to impress. Not doing the easy thing.
Yes.
Not handing the ball off, but I want to impress people. I want to show how creative I am.
I'm the smartest guy in the room.
Yes. In the fourth quarter Super Bowl, Rob, they ran 15 plays, San Francisco. 11 of them were passes.
How?
You got a 10-point lead with less than 9 minutes to go, and you're passing the ball? And here's the other thing. The running game had been successful. They had run 22 times for 141 yards.
Yeah, so it wasn't like you were being
a carry.
You were being stopped. Why would you go away from it? How did you run over the Green Bay Packers? On the ground.
Yep.
Chris, it doesn't even make sense.
Yep. It's showing off. It's wanting to show how much you know. I mean, seriously. That is what it is. That's what it was in Atlanta. And that's what it, you know, when he lost to the Patriots. And that's what it was last year. I'm sorry. Prove something. Sean McVay, 2 years ago, he was viewed as, I mean, heck, darn near up there as Belichick. The next Belichick. Now he's not even in the top five because he had one bad season. This guy's had one good season and we're crowning him. You want to crown him?
That's right.
Where's the late Dennis Green when you need him? I mean, come on. I'm just saying, and I'm not even trying to bash Shanahan, Rob. But come on. This is not right. He does not deserve to be ahead of a Mike Tomlin. He does not deserve to be ahead of even a Sean McVay. And I can throw Doug Peterson in, who lost his franchise quarterback and had the backup lead him to the Super Bowl.
And last year they made the playoffs, Chris, when they were down and out and had a lot of injuries. What about last year?
Yep.
Don't tell me that.
It's too early. It's way too early.